us some pretty valuable lessons in life. And some of those we're going to have a look at this morning, just from the one passage. But this year, the first part of this year, I found myself in a bit of a dark place, where I had been rocked by something that was happening beyond what I could control and beyond what I thought should actually be affecting me. And the reasons I'll briefly touch on later in this morning, but what I really wanted to emphasise was just how important the passages this morning that sort of helped keep me out of the funk, but also was able to help not so much change but reinforce the mindset that we're all supposed to have as Christians. And the verse I'm reading from this morning is Philippians 3, verses 4 to 9. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. This is Paul, by the way, talking to the Philippians church. Under the law, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ and the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Before I go too deep into the message, I wanted to expand that on some of those boasts that Paul's making, because especially that first one, if you were to say that now, it would probably land you in the HR department more than it would get you a nice from your fellow co-workers. So I'll just go on that. We've got circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. All three of these are reference to his birth. And remember, he's talking to a Christian church, and he's a Jewish believer, so these things mean something. But according to Jewish tradition, he was circumcised on the eighth day of his birth. So he is a born Jew, not a convert to the thing. So he's a proper Israelite. Of the people of Israel, he's God's chosen people. He's one of God's chosen people. That meant something back then, it should still mean something now. And of the tribe of Benjamin, that one was quite interesting. They had a great reputation for being the smallest tribe of Israel, but they also controlled the city of Jerusalem. They had a relationship with Judea, a very tight relationship with Judea, so they were always considered amongst the high nobility and other things like that. And more importantly, they had a reputation as fierce fighters. When there was a rebellion, I think it took all 10 tribes to get them under control. So that gives you, not only were they the smallest, but they packed the most punch. So Paul is saying he was of the right stock, he had the right birth. As to the law, a Pharisee. Now, most people, they would associate being a Pharisee as a bad thing, just a minor detail that they killed Jesus. But it was a really important thing amongst the Jewish people. And specifically when we talk about Paul, because not only was Paul a Pharisee, but he was also a member of the Sanhedrin. But we won't get too much into that. What I'd really like to highlight is the difference between the Pharisees and the opposing party at the time of religious leaders, the Sadducees. The Pharisees were a group of religious leaders who rose up in opposition to the high priesthood and majority of religious leaders called Sadducees. The main difference between the groups was that the Sadducees believed in only the Torah, and that everything that the Jewish people should be taught and how they should live their lives should only come from the Torah, the first 5 books. On the other hand, the Pharisees believed that because times had changed, they didn't have their own nation anymore, they were under somebody else's rule, and a lot of years had passed since the Torah was created, that they needed new interpretations and that they needed to apply things differently to their lives, as well as take in the teachings and the oral traditions of the prophets who had come before them, which is ironic since the prophets spoke about Jesus. And so because of that, the Pharisees were more connected to the common Jewish person because they were more connected to the problems that they were facing at the time. So all that to say is a really long-winded way. Paul was a man of the people, and he would have been respected by the common man as well as the high priesthood. And then as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, this one was quite hard to figure out what it was actually saying, and most commentaries I came across were referring to this as its meaning of boasting about his conviction and his adherence to the law of God, and the role that he played when it came to stamping out what they thought at the time was a heretical church that was uprising in the name of their God. So it wasn't just that he was adhering to his faith, he was doing it with a zeal, with a passion. It wasn't something he did out of obligation, it was something that he was passionate about. And then the last one, this is the big one, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now, that's a really, really bold claim. When you look at the word in the Greek here, it's amepitos. I've probably butchered that. But it is properly without fault, not blameworthy, above reproach, because you are morally pure. Morally pure. I don't know how many of you have read all the Jewish laws, but if you have, how many of you think that you could make the same claim Paul has reading all those laws, that he was morally pure? And so that claim carried a lot of weight among not only his own people, but those around him, because his actions would have reflected what he was saying. Outwardly, he would have lived a very good life, and it would have been seen by everybody around him. Right. So, all that in mind, Paul's telling us that he could show from his actions and the way he lived his life that he was righteous under the law, but then he follows it up here with verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them all as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so this year I've sort of come to a realization that, and along with recent experiences, that we are a little bit like Paul. Although we don't grow up with the law, and it's not as important to us because we don't grow up in those times, we have grown up with other things that have replaced the law. Society standards, social standards, our jobs, our accomplishments in life, even things from our possessions. So we all have these things that we count as something that gives us worth or value or our righteousness amongst our peer group. But at the same time, we also have record levels of unhappiness and depression, suicide and mental health, and we have just a record levels of disunity within our society. So it doesn't matter that we have all these things that we've replaced it with, we're no better off than what we were back then when they had the law. So I'm going to take a different approach to this passage than probably what most people have spoken about. And I'm going to take a look at, well, what happens when those things that we have held up so high and that have become our righteousness, that give us our value, come under attack? What happens when they lose their value or come into question? So I broke down those, and that's the reason I broke down those boasts from Paul, so that you can see what he was saying, and you can now put it into what they mean for us in a modern world. He's talking about having the right job. He's talking about being good and respected amongst his people, and that he lived a good life. But what our society tells us is that doesn't cut it, and Paul was also telling us that doesn't cut it. And when life comes and turns something that was giving you value upside down to causing great distress, what do we do? Because it will happen to anything that you hold of value that comes from this world. Because it's rooted in a foundation that is always changing. You probably wouldn't have to go more than 5 years back to notice that what we live in now is not the same as what we were before. So anything that's rooted in a foundation of this world can be changed by anything from this world. So you run the risk of that happening. But not only is it forever changing, we don't have the ability to control what happens around us. Just, we've had an election recently. For those who had faith in the previous government, the new government coming in is going to rock their foundation because it's different. Same as you don't have control of what other people do to you. You can grow up your entire life living a good life, but somebody's still going to rob you if you leave your car unlocked. So you can't control what actions other people have and how they're going to impact something that you once held value. And it was also true in Paul's time, because the Sadducees once had control of the Sanhedrin. They once had the say over everybody in the Jewish community's life, how they were supposed to live, what they were supposed to believe, until the Pharisees came along. And the Pharisees had the ear of the common people, and through that, even though they had a minority seat in the Sanhedrin, they had the controlling power, because if they went against the Pharisees, they went against the common people. So even back then, something that gave them value, like Paul said, it gave them righteousness, being a Pharisee. Even though that gave them some value, it was taken away from them when someone else came along, and it was something out of their control. And this passage is saying that these things shouldn't be the case for us. It says, but whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, for my Lord. For his sake I have suffered all things as I have suffered all the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, nor that I may gain Christ. Christ has surpassed all in our life. So why is it that when life takes a turn and things that we have of value come under attack, why does it still affect us? And Paul tells us that right at the start. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence, I have more. Confidence of the flesh can turn into quite a lot of things. For me, it turned into pride. But it could be anything, depending on what you hold up as value, it could turn into something else. But for me, it was my confidence in flesh turned into pride in myself. And our achievements in life, our position at work, among these other things, they can become a source of pride in our life. And there's nothing wrong with being good at what you do. There's nothing wrong with being good at your job and being confident that you, in your abilities, and that you're good at what you've done and that you've achieved a lot. But it's when that confidence turns into pride, or when it turns maybe into something else, that it becomes a source of righteousness for you. It becomes a source of where you gain your value from, and it's now taking the place of the Lord, or it's at least gone equal to on that point. And that's where the danger and the problem comes in, and that's where I found myself. I've been doing my job for over 11 years, so I've gotten quite good at it. And I had let my confidence in my job and my ability to be good at what I do and what I've achieved over the years turn into pride without even knowing it. I didn't even know this was happening. It just sort of snuck up on me. And so when things at work started to go wrong for me, it became a lot harder for me than, and hurt a lot more than what it should have, a lot angrier than what I really should have with what was really actually happening. And I'm still not really sure what happened and why, but about 9 months ago, everything I did at work started to come under question. I had to go in every day, and it was only by one person as well, it wasn't like the whole workplace. I had to go in every day and have every single detail of my performance be put under question. And I had to go into the day knowing that that was the case, and that also, even if I had done everything right, that this person was still going to walk away thinking I was in the wrong. And I don't know why. And I still don't know why. And despite my direct manager and the other managers around me telling me that that wasn't the case, I still took this one person's opinion, just one person's opinion, to heart, and it really hurt. And the only reason that was possible was because I was proud. I had gone from being, I'm good at my job, and I'm proud of that, to, I'm so good at my job, everybody else has to be proud of that. And that was just a different level of pride. So I don't want you to hear this morning, though, that there's anything wrong with being good at your job. What I said is that it shouldn't be what creates the righteousness in your life. It shouldn't be where the value in your life comes from. And so how did I get out of this funk? And this was the part that really stood out for me. Was indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. This message at this point in time was sort of, it really hit me, and I had to humble myself. That was the hard part. I had to humble myself before the Lord, to the point where I was able to look at my work and my achievements and see them as rubbish. Which, when you say it out loud, sounds really bad, because you're saying my work and my achievements are rubbish. But that's not really what it's saying. It's not saying we shouldn't be good at your job and those things don't matter. The context of this passage is that those things don't matter in the light of Christ being the righteousness that we get for our lives. So instead it becomes more like this: I need to use those to be an example to those around me of Christ's righteousness. I should always be looking to be the best that I can be at work, but not just in what I do for the job and how I conduct myself, so that people see, even through hard times, I still work hard, I am still doing what I'm meant to, because I hold to a different belief. My value doesn't come from someone's opinion. It comes from Christ, and we can be the example to those around us that through hard times, there are ways through. And so, it was a humbleness that came from removing the old foundation of where that pride was, and rerouting myself in the foundation that comes from the Lord. Because that foundation is unchanging and is unshakable. So that when those times come, if your foundation is in something that's shaky, it will rock you. If your foundation is in something solid, you'll remain solid. And it's not saying that when something happens, it's not going to be hard, it's not going to hurt, but it's when you're on the right foundation that when it comes along, you don't get rocked as badly. You're able to roll with it better, you're able to deal with it better, because that thing that's come under attack doesn't give you value anymore, because your value is coming from Christ. So it'll hurt for a day, but you can go back to your scriptures, you go back to your prayer, and it's over, because you're in the foundation of Christ, not in the foundation that came from the value from the world. Should have got less gloss and paper. And so there were four steps that I took to get through, and each step was a bit of a learning experience, and this might come across a bit sexist, but I feel like it's probably harder for us guys than it is for women, these four steps. But I grew a lot through this time, and for those who were sort of with me during the time, I probably would have seen that as well. And so the four steps, the first one I've spoken about briefly is humble yourself. You have to make yourself see that while you're always seeing these things around us is where the value comes from, this is where the world tells you our value comes from. It doesn't. It has to come from the Lord. We have to make sure that all things, our value comes from the Lord, so that nothing else can take its place. Nothing else can sit where the Lord is meant to sit, or sit higher than when he's meant to sit. And nothing else is where our righteousness can come from. We are never going to be good enough. These things of the world are never going to be good enough. They cannot take his place. And the second step was to keep that relationship with the Lord strong. And how many of us know that during hard times, we stop reading the Word? Yes. Our prayer game definitely steps up. We're always praying. but we often find it harder to pick up the word. But it's not just the reading of the word that we need to have, it's being open to the word. So we're on our hands and our knees and we're praying, because we're in this hard time. We're on our hands and our knees praying for an answer from the Lord, but we're not opening the book that's going to give us the answer. And so that's what we need to have, that openness and that constant communication with the Lord, not just in prayer, but in His word, making sure that we're receptive to what He said, because our hearts are ready. We're looking for an answer, and we need to make sure that we're reading so we get the answer. And if I hadn't been doing youth group all this time, I probably would have had the same thing, but I didn't have a choice to put down the Bible. I still had to get a message. So I was very lucky that during this time I came across this passage. It's been a blessing in that respect. Step three was letting go and having the faith to put all things in God's hands. Having a faith that's so strong because it's built on that relationship through prayer and through the word, that we're grounded in the Lord and in that faith. We're not grounded in the world and what value we get from the world. And so when something comes along, we don't get broken, because the Lord doesn't want us to break. He wants us to have that faith that's so strong that no matter what happens in this world, we stay strong with Him, and that nothing can hold power over us. And step four, definitely the hardest part for me, and as I say, probably for a lot of men, is that we have to lean on our brothers and sisters. We are a community. We are not alone. We are not meant to live alone. We are meant to live as a community of believers. And during those hard times and during those trials, those of us that are around us that make up this community will help us get through those times. And it might be something as simple as they were reading the Bible, they get a word and they go, you know, I feel like this is for you. But if you're not connected to the community, if you're not leaning on one another, they're never going to get that opportunity. So don't rob yourself during a hard time of what the community can give you by not being a part of it. We must stay part of the community. We must lean on one another, because when you lean on your fellow brothers and sisters, you gain life experiences so that when others around you are going through something similar, they can lean on you in return. And we will constantly become a strong, close-knit community that just builds each other up and stops us from completely falling down and breaking. And we also have to learn to be vulnerable. That's the part that I think is the hardest part, is by leaning on each other, we have to learn to be vulnerable with one another and to let go of that facade. And if you've learned to humble yourself and put your faith in Christ, it's a lot easier to be vulnerable with others because your pride is gone. And so, to wrap this message up a little bit, this passage showed me what I needed to change in my life and what needed to break down, so I knew where to refocus, and that no matter what, this world was never going to give me the value and the righteousness that I needed to live a happy life or a fulfilled life. I needed to make sure that I was able to refocus my mind, being focused solely on Christ, my relationship with Him, and the purpose that comes from that. I needed to be reminded that my righteousness can only come from my faith in Christ, and that I must put everything into that and must count everything else from the world as loss, so that when something changes, because my faith and my foundation is in the unshakable and unchanging righteousness of God, I will remain unchanging and unshakable. And so finally today, I want to everybody to learn from my experience this morning. And this world offers us a lot. We get a lot of distraction from this world. But we must stay focused on the Lord. We must stay focused on the Lord. And if anybody thinks that they haven't, I'd really like for people to go away today and examine their life and see, have I put something in the place of Christ or above Christ? Have I gone from having confidence in the flesh to having righteousness in the flesh? And also, if there's anyone who might be in the same place, that I was in right now, please don't struggle alone. Lean on us, your brothers and sisters in the faith. Let us live our life together and be there for one another in the hard times. So I'm just going to finish there. I'm going to pray and I think we've got another song. But dear Lord, I just thank you for this church, Lord, this community, this group of believers. Lord, I thank you that through our connection with you, Lord, we have come together in this place to hear your word, Lord. And I just pray that we go away stronger today as a community, as believers, as people, to know that the only way we gain righteousness, Lord, the only way that we can gain fulfillment, Lord, is through you and not through this world. In Jesus' name.